Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Davis with a rebound. Up ahead for Booker. Exclamation point.
He's a bad boy. Night, night.
8 threes for Curry. He has sent the French crowd into a frenzy they will never forget.
The French crowd, the American crowd, the crowd in Thailand, Vietnam, even in overnight dancers were psyched up after Stephen Curry hit 4 threes down the stretch. Remember, it was an 82-79 game in the gold medal game against France on their home soil. And Steph Curry, when it was all said and done, steals the show in the last two games. What a performance for the chef. Iconic. I was in a frenzy. I'm sure you were in a frenzy, Shasky. Oh, baby. That's how we get this week started here on the Morning Roast. Good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what's happening? All the janitors, all the carpenters, all the construction workers, all the security guards, all the students, all the kids getting ready to go back to school this week. Good morning to everybody out there. Shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What a show for Stephen Curry there. Look, he hit the 9 threes in the semifinals against Serbia, and they needed every bit of it. And then the 4 threes down the stretch, Steph Curry, 8 threes in all in the gold medal game. He had 17 in the last two games, Shasky. 24 points, 5 assists. LeBron was great. KD was great. What a game that was, man.
And the only sad part is that it's over.
Yeah, I know.
Full disclosure, I was watching that entire thing, and I kept thinking about, you know, how lucky we are to watch one of the greatest players of all time in Steph Curry, and to basically root for him from day one until now.
Yep.
And who knows what the future holds for him. But the other part that was crossing my mind as I was watching that was, it really is wild that this is his only Olympics because of injuries and different things that have happened throughout his career. And it's just, it hasn't worked out for him to be a part of the Olympic team. And I think seeing him, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and I'd even throw Steve Kerr in there. I mean, the last 20 years, you can't talk about the NBA without those three players. And to see them take that moment in France, against France, it was very, very special. And that iconic, I mean, there's a variety of iconic videos that were circulating with all the Americans in the lower bowl and all the French fans kind of behind them going crazy. Yeah. Whether it's the Stephon Marbury video, whether it's the picture of Steph Curry shooting over a 7'5" Gobert. I mean, France is coming.
Right.
You guys all can see this. 2028,
they're coming.
Both in the women's game and in the men's game.
No doubt.
But for one last moment, and I was thinking about the NBA moving forward, the old guys staved off the youngsters and the next evolution of players that are coming for their dominance. And I just thinking out loud, and I'm saying to myself, boy, if you're LeBron and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, you got to be thinking hard about how, like, the only way we can knock off some of these young guys in the league is maybe we all reunite again.
Well, yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there, because one of the tweets I had shortly after the game was, are we sure Steph, LeBron, and Kevin Durant are not going to play in the 2028 LA Olympic Games? And they may be needed in the 2028 Olympic Games, just their presence. Look at what Kevin Durant's presence has done for Anthony Edwards. He was at Kevin Durant's hip the entire Olympic Games. Now, that was his favorite player growing up, but he knew that, boy, I got some old heads with me that know how to close the show. Devin Booker, what it's done for him, being the unsung hero and sacrificing for Team USA. Booker had a really good Olympic game. Shout out to Steve Kerr for after the game saying, hey, nobody asked me this, but Devin Booker was our unsung hero.
Well, to me, that was him recruiting Devin Booker to the Warriors.
Nah, well, that's where your mind goes. He's under contract.
You have to think four moves ahead, because you know LeBron's doing that.
Well, yeah, sure. I'm sure Phoenix wants to trade with the Golden State Warriors. But look, I wasn't thinking about that. I maybe that happens down the line. I think Booker has a good in Phoenix. He has Kevin Durant down there. And if he moves around, he's got other markets. We'll see what happens with that. But the 2028 games, I'm thinking like Cooper Flagg, Chet Holmgren, and Jason Tatum. You know, Jason Tatum tweeted something, or he shared it on his Instagram, and he deleted it, because I had to make sure. I was like, wait a minute. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you right now.
I was very social media-less all weekend.
Well, Steve Kerr gave you were tweeting yesterday. I saw a couple tweets from you
yesterday when I got on the couch. I have a sickness. The NFL app is working just beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
I went back and watched so many quarterbacks dropbacks yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But Jason Tatum, four interceptions.
He should have thrown eight.
I know. We will avenge Jason Tatum. That was from Vince Staples.
We will avenge.
On Twitter.
Can we stop pretending?
And then Jason Tatum shared that on Instagram and then shortly deleted it. So he's got something against the Golden State Warriors. And look, Steve Kerr gave him the sympathy minutes in the gold medal game. It wasn't working. He didn't fit. It wasn't working.
Newsflash to Jason Tatum and all of Celtics fans, i.e. Dave Portnoy, who's complaining and crying and whining.
Oh, no. He said he was rooting for Fred.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even want to give
him
oxygen.
Portnoy.
I don't even want to give him oxygen. I don't know if you know this. Durant's the better USA FIBA player than you right now. Now, maybe a time comes when Durant loses a step or isn't on the team and you'll get your opportunity. Like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. I'm kind of getting tired. This is where the player stands. Need to realize, like, the way they were playing basketball, Tatum wasn't working. Someone's got to sit. It's not the end of the world.
No,
everyone needs to relax.
No, it's not. It's not a lot. Tyrese Halliburton sat. He took it a good stride. He goes, man, when you get an A on a group project without doing a damn thing. So shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for that. That was pretty cool. But when it all was said and done. When it was all said and done. Down in crunch time, because things got hairy, and the U.S. offense got very clucky there in the fourth quarter, and France comes storming back, and it's 82-79. And you saw LeBron James, and you saw Kevin Durant, you saw Team USA defer to the chef, Stephen Curry, and said, bring us home. And not a last shot. We're going to talk to his personal trainer, Brandon Payne, at 9:20 a.m. We were texting. I go, dude, that shot was so damn disrespectful. LeBron and KD were open on the wing. And Steph was like, no, I got this. And only Steph can get away with shooting it. And you see Dwayne Wade from the announcer's chair. He's standing up looking at the crowd like, what? You got Draymond Green in the crowd. You got Melo sitting courtside on the court pointing at Steph. I mean, it was... He put everybody, now start thinking about our boy from France, Antonin. Remember he came in the studio? I wonder if he was at that game. Oh. My guy, CJ McDonald. CJ McDonald, if you're out there, he's a friend of mine, close friend, does a lot of work with a lot of people, he's part of Team Curry.
Uh-huh.
The guy, I got to ask him, I DM'd him. I said, how'd you get courtside tickets? Because he's in a lot of the freeze frames doing a night-night. Oh. And then how cool was it to see LeBron James doing a night-night?
LeBron, you know, I mean, I've been telling you LeBron's on that full-court press.
Well, he is on that. You know,
I mean,
what?
It just is what it is, B. You have to embrace it.
No, I mean, LeBron's all, yeah, but I'm not going to put oxygen to that. I'm going to enjoy the moment.
I will say this, as a noted, you know, I go back and forth on LeBron, right? Like, he drives me crazy, but I also recognize he's one of the greatest players of all time.
You set the tone.
One, two, or three, whatever. Whatever you want to say. I'm not going to argue. Like, fine. But when you watch him, I mean, he's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. The way that he's ripping rebounds. I think the FIBA rules, look, I'm not here to say that the NBA should adjust all their rules to the FIBA game. I think the physicality is actually welcomed. Now, I don't think that it'll go well in an 82-game season when everyone's slogging. I do love the 40 minutes. I do love that you can rip the ball off the rim. I think that that's great. Yep. I like the wider lane where you don't have the inside portion. Yep. I love the zone defense. Yep. I enjoyed the games themselves. I thought it was a beautiful display of basketball.
I feel like the NBA at some point is going to adopt some of the FIBA rules, if not a lot of the FIBA rules. As the game gets international, as the gap has been closed, there's no doubt the gap has been closed as these international players are now in the NBA, and they're bringing it to the Team USA. The gap has been closed. There's no doubt about that. But the FIBA rules, I do like the and this has been a conversation for a while now about the FIBA rules, going to the FIBA rules and knocking the ball off the rim. There was a couple times France had a couple buzz. You see LeBron just rip it.
But wasn't that cool?
No, I think the FIBA rules will be adopted into the NBA at some point because you need to spice the regular season up again.
I'm with you.
And that may be, it's not the in-season tournament. It's not the point system with that. It's not the play-in tournament. It's you got to spice the rules up a little bit to make the game more competitive in the regular season, to make the regular season more watchable.
What I saw, a few ideas that have been floated by the league, these were people that kind of know what's going on in the NBA, is that they've actually been tinkering behind the scenes with, instead of the in-season tournament being your team, the Warriors or whatever, the in-season tournament would be a FIBA-like showcase of each country having their own team, but then you'd stop and pause in the middle of the season. And so, like, there's pluses and minuses to it. I don't know, but it does feel like they're going to do some tinkering. I think the 40 minutes, 10-minute quarters, that's like the way to go.
Steve Kerr touched on that with us on Friday because he loves the 10-minute quarters, and I think that's a very, you know, they don't play 48 minutes anyway. You got low management. 40? Can we get 40? Now, guys, production's going to be down. You're going to tinker with the stats or whatnot, but I like the 40-minute aspect of it. Now, when it comes to LeBron, Steph, and KD, we saw all the iconic photos of those big three. Now, LeBron set the tone of that gold medal game with the dunk on the fast break. You could just look in his eyes. He was with the gray beard. It was fun to watch. And then you had Kevin Durant. And then you had Stephen Curry closing the show. And LeBron wins the MVP, which I don't think is a big deal at all. He was the most consistent player from Team USA.
Skip Bayless is furious.
Yeah, well,
behalf of Steph Curry.
Yeah, of course. He's a LeBron hater. But just watching Stephen Curry and watching what he did on Saturday, and of course, in the semifinals against Serbia, there's a few entertainers that come to mind, but we're not talking players. We're just talking about entertainers in the sports world. Is he the greatest entertainer that we've ever seen in the sports world? I mean, there's Deion Sanders.
Usain Bolt. I mean, just in terms of he'd be so out in front. Right. He's like got arms
and he's showboating, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. Usain Bolt, Tyson. Deion Sanders. Tyson wasn't really a showboat. He was just knocking dudes out.
I know, but
and then it was so short-lived.
There's the explosion of Tyson. I don't know. I'm just saying, you ask about Tyson. Like, right. If you say a Tyson fight, people are like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, because of the knockouts or whatnot. But it just, Steph Curry's big hand bouncing. He's doing a night-night. He's yelling at the crowd saying, don't worry about me. Yeah. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Like, it just, in terms of, because it is sports and entertainment now.
Absolutely.
People want to be entertained. How many other guys are on that level with Stephen Curry in terms of just pure entertainment? I mean, it's not many, right? This guy is great. He's a great human being. He's balling, and he's entertaining you at the same time, which takes it up to another level. When he's doing a night-night running around the gym in France, people are never going to forget that in their lives out there.
And then he's got the sweatshirt ready to roll with the French night-night, whatever, however it's pronounced. I don't pretend to know.
Right.
But, like, he had it ready to roll. I don't know whose wardrobe was more predetermined, Snoop Dogg's, because everywhere he went, he had a new outfit.
No doubt.
Or Steph Curry.
No doubt. No, I mean, it was the showmanship.
And Draymond
that he brings
in
the table.
On the sidelines?
Yeah, Draymond doing the arms up. He was looking straight at Draymond.
So he was tweeting from the stands the game before, huh? I didn't even know he was
there. No, he wasn't there yet.
Oh, he wasn't there
yet. He flew out after after that game.
Well, he had to be a podcast with, you know, him and LeBron. You know, they had to be buddies.
He was out there. He did a podcast with Baron Davis. Then he flew out there and he said he was going to sit right by
Baron Davis.
He did his podcast with Baron Davis and then he flew out to Paris. Look, man, just in terms of entertainment, man, I was, because even like the casuals, right? And his 86-year-old grandma watches Stephen Curry. When you could get the casuals who could just watch a sports game, like I think of Grandma Essie, rest in peace, Grandma Essie, where she would tune to the TV because it was Tiger and the Williams sisters, and they were great entertainers. She was like, I got to be entertained, and I got to watch them. But just to see that on that level, on that stage, wow. And then it just proves that, man, Steph does have a lot left in the tape, when it comes to offensive basketball. So we'll see what the Warriors do. We'll see what they do to build around Stephen Curry. But I thought we needed to start the show with that because that was unbelievable.
And well, your point about like drawing people to the, you know, to the television and whatnot. I want to see what the overnights are because I haven't seen any of the viewership stuff. But like,
well, the ratings I thought was through the roof.
Well, what I was going to say is the Serbian game when they put that on, they were 13, 14 million, depending on who you talk to, and that doesn't include all of the streaming numbers. Well, and that's at an unconventional time. Like, that's not during or unconventional time. That's not so the morning. It's not in the afternoon or in the evening. You know, the Boston Dallas had a high of 12 million on a Sunday night game. So just to give you an idea, like this thing was rating very, very, very well.
U.S. men's basketball teams win over France averaged 19.5 million viewers on NBC.
It's almost twice a finals game.
It's the most watched gold medal game since the 96 Atlanta Olympics. The game peaked at 22.7 million viewers from 5 to 5:15 Pacific Eastern Time. P.M. Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time.
That's an NFL number.
So, yeah, it did.
That's monster an NFL
numbers.
Number.
Monster numbers.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
So everybody was tapped in. I mean, it was it was riveting stuff, man. It was, and it was. And the fact is, it was 82-79, and Steph Curry needed to hit all four of those shots.
Well,
so you think about that stage, that pressure. You can lose that game. You could lose that game to France. You could, Steve Kerr could lose that game. And it was like, just get out of the way, Steve. Get out of the way, KD. KD throwing the ball back to Steph. And he hits the shot over to two dudes, one of them Nicholas Batum. And KD and LeBron is wide open on a wing. And even Bam Adebayo said it after the game. He had one of the greatest quotes after the game. He goes, you know, at first I said, what the hell is he doing? Then he goes, oh, that's Steph. And only Steph could get away with shooting a ball like that. And he's our guy. And he's our guy, Shasky. Our guy.
If he doesn't play, you think they win at all?
No, they might not medal. They might not medal.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's pretty good. There's this American arrogance, which I understand. We invented the game, and we're light years ahead of everybody. And like, for example, like the Serbians. And where's Luka from? What's the exact country?
Slovenia.
Okay. I saw all these tweets about, oh, well, when it was originally Yugoslavia, these guys would all be on the same team. And, and like, you know, they would have knocked out the USA. And well, thankfully, it isn't that way.
Right.
But seeing these guys unite one last time, again, I just keep coming to the same conclusion. I want to see Kevin Durant and or LeBron James team up with Steph Curry one last time in the NBA and stave off the young players.
So you want them on one team in
the
NBA?
I do. I want to see them. You know, I think the game needs to see it one more time. I think Kevin clearly plays a great basketball alongside
Steph. So on the NBA team, so would it be the Golden State Warriors?
Well, Joe Lacob's one of the few that would actually have the money. Like, we know that the Lakers don't have the actual resources. They're a family-run business. They don't have the money to be able to reinvest like that.
They would figure it out.
Well,
they would figure it out. I mean, they got AD
and
LeBron.
Do you trust Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss to, you know, find the money in the couch cushions?
I mean, they've paid everybody down there in L.A. where it comes to LeBron and AD and Austin Reeves. Yeah, they've been in the tax before.
Not
I don't
as
know
deep
if they can do
Warriors.
It. I think they do it for 1 year. If it's a 1 year deal, they do it for 1 year.
I just can't envision Steph in a Laker uniform.
Yeah, I can't envision Steph in any uniform. Outside of the Golden State Warriors uniform.
Do you
so.
Think that a lot of the people that were, oh, Steph, you know, Steph isn't that great. Steph only has the one finals. You think a lot of that evaporates now? Because everyone was rooting for one flag?
You know, the whole clutch thing, what I thought about was like, remember there was a narrative that Steph wasn't clutch? And there was this narrative that I guess it died in 2022, but should have been dead in 2017. Did we forget Game 5 in 2015 when he dropped 37 on Matthew Dellavedova's head? Do we remember Game 4 of that series against Cleveland when they tied it up in 2-2? So I think the clutch narrative, we can officially bury it 6 feet deep. And if you're Max Kellerman out there, I know he's getting paid by ESPN for not doing a damn thing. Must be nice to get paid and not work. Is he still taking Andre Iguodala to take the final shot to save the universe? Because Steph Curry just saved the universe. Steph Curry literally saved the country.
What was that comment from 6-7 years ago?
I mean, that's...
I hear you. Trust me, I hear you. But people are going to hate because that's what they do. Right. I mean, we did this with Peyton Manning. He only won the one Super Bowl till the very end, right? Like, he can't win the big one. You know, he loses two Super Bowls. Guys like Steph Curry are always going to get diluted because it's not part of the talking narrative from the clutch management. You know, when they hand you the script. Yep. Here's the script of how you basically make LeBron the greatest player of all time. And part of that is you got to knock down Steph Curry, which is stupid. No,
it was a lot of fun to see KD, Steph, and LeBron all, you know, cater to each other and embrace each other and the photos from over the weekend, whether it's Embiid and the parties and everything. It was really cool, man. It was really cool to see Team USA come together.
We also are actually omitting probably what I believe to be the greatest generational transformation ever. The new Marv Albert is going to be Noah Eagle. I mean, this guy instantaneously became everybody's favorite on the grand stage, and this guy's going to basically write his own career from here on out.
He'll probably be the voice of NBC for the NBA at 27 years old. For the next 50 years.
I mean, right?
He'll be there for the next 50 years. And Dwayne Wade came along for the ride. It did very well next to Noah Eagle.
I actually thought Dwayne Wade wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, there's something there, man. As Dwayne Wade, he was fresh, man. I love Dwayne Wade. I think this could work. It could work with Noah Eagle and Dwayne Wade. But that was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Team USA winning the gold medal over France. A lot there to digest. 888-957-9570 if you want to get out on that conversation. Plus, let's talk some preseason football. Boy, the Niners are so beat up. They can't even hold a scrimmage against the New Orleans Saints. There's a lot going on with the 49ers ads. They're going through the training camp of hell. That's basically what this is. What a disaster of a training camp for the 49ers. We'll get to that. Again, Brandon Payne tonight, 20. We'll get the great Vern Glenn, who's in Nashville Saturday night. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a tie for you?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. All that coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises.
Attention, attention au tir de Steph Curry. Oh non, mais non, mais non. Steph Curry. Au buzzer, mais c'est pas possible. Qui renverse pour Kevin Durant. Ah, il a la main chaude, Steph Curry, il a la main chaude, il a la main chaude.
C'est pas possible.
Il a la main chaude, Steph Curry.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steph, that was a French call. The French call, they were going crazy. They basically said, whatever the first one, it was 82-79, and Steph hits the three. in French, he goes, "This devil named Stephen Curry, this devil named Curry is hurting us."
He's just incredible.
He's hurting us. He's hurting us. And then Steph Curry, after he touched on the last 6 weeks. Oh, Lubman, let's get that up.
When we won our last championship, I knew that this was going to be on the horizon and something that I was excited to go after. And anything you sign up for, you know, any mission that you take on, like, you give everything you have. So these last, well, for me, we missed the playoffs. So I've been preparing for a long time. But these last 5 weeks together with this group has been nothing but 1, 2, 3 gold. That's all we've been saying. So for us to finally accomplish that, for me to get, you know, a gold medal is insane. And I thank God for the opportunity to experience it.
And then I'll knock it down to big shots leg again. That was with Mike Tirico right after the game. Mike Tirico did a good job. Mike Tirico's the best, man. He's NBC so buttoned up with Noah Eagle and Mike Tirico. Really good broadcast there. Here's Steph on knocking down the big shots late.
It's just get to your spot and just be under control. I think you've taken those type of shots countless times in the gym, and you have a rhythm. It's just being decisive. We had turnovers because we weren't decisive in what we were trying to do. But I knew if I got to my spot and I could not, you know, get a good release on it, I'd be able to knock it down. You live with the results. There's a lot of faith in it. You just let it go and you live with the results. And thankfully, the work took over.
I mean, 4 threes there. It's 82-79. France is going crazy. The crowd's going berserk. It's a college atmosphere because I believe the gym, from what I was told, only holds a little over 12,000. So it's kind of like this bandbox.
It felt really,
you know what
loud.
I mean? It felt like it was 30,000 in there. And for Curry to do that there in the fourth quarter, 4 threes when it's 82-79. And of course, Booker gets a run out and a layup there, the dunk, to end it, to seal it. But Noah Eagle with the call. And I mean, just gutsy shots, man. Only step, like, we should be accustomed to it, Shasky. We should be immune to him doing it because he's done it for his entire career here at the Golden State Warriors. But on that stage, with all those stars, what, the world watching?
With LeBron deferring to him.
And KD.
That's the thing that I think really... Well, you know, because KD's not viewed on the level of LeBron. Right. Like, look, you and I might think that, but the majority of people view KD as a lesser than version, right? Like, it's just... I'm being real. Right. And I think that there, for a lot of portion of the LeBron mania that's out there, specifically in the media, watching the way LeBron James, like, was in awe of Steph Curry... And was deferring over and over and over to Steph Curry. I think that thing matters. I think it's going to resonate for a long time.
Well, what I took away from that 82-79 was that, and I'm going to get to you why it's going to resonate in just a second, because LeBron did defer to Steph Curry. I don't think LeBron wanted that ball late down the stretch. It got tight.
Wait a minute.
It got tight.
Did hey, France listen. Put J.J. Barea out on the floor?
Hey, I don't know what happened, but LeBron was trying to get closer to that rim. And it was a couple turnovers there in that fourth quarter. And as I, here you go, Steph. Here you go. But you say it's going to resonate. In which way is it going to resonate? LeBron deferring to Stephen Curry.
Well, not necessarily LeBron deferring to Steph Curry. I just think the Steph Curry performance, there's going to be two things that people are going to look at. Boston, when you do it against the Celtics, and you do it in the way that he did, with quote-unquote no true number two side piece at that given time, because I don't think people are going to think of Clay that way at that time in his career. No Kevin Durant. To do that against a team that now has won a championship. I think looking back, we're going to look at that Boston team and say, well, the Warriors did knock them from winning another championship even earlier in their life cycle. And then I think the number two moment is going to be this one. I think when people close their eyes, they're gonna think about Steph Curry in terms of achievements on the grandest of stages. And I think this is going to be one that sticks out because they're holding off what is going to be the next freak of the NBA for the next 15 to 20 years.
Victor
Wembanyama is an... To say he's a freak is almost an understatement. He's 7'5", can shoot, can block. It's his domain because FIBA, you can just rip that ball off the rim. And I think the physicality of FIBA leans into the bigs more. And for someone like LeBron James, I think that like shooting free throws is something that got into his head late in that game.
That's why I'm saying he was deferred to Stephen Curry. He didn't want that ball. Just said that. The ball got a little heavy for LeBron.
I'm with you there. And then the other part is I think the FIBA rules actually, if you can space the floor with shooting, it makes you more valuable.
LeBron really wasn't the same after he got yammed on, though. He wasn't. Hey, that guy, it was like, delete the footage. Chiseled. He was like, delete the footage.
Who was that guy? They said he was in the NBA. Yeah, now he's out of the NBA.
He wants another shot. He wants another shot at the NBA. So,
well, the French team. The French team is here to stay. And they've got a bunch of youngsters who barely even played or didn't even make the team. Again, I told you, there are three of the top seven or six, depending on whose draft board you're looking at, are all coming out of France.
Them, Canada is going to be back. Team Canada will be back. They'll get older. They'll get the SGA. But the LA Olympics 2028 is going to be a lot of fun on both sides, the men's and the women's. Shout out to the women who survived yesterday by a point. Kelsey Blum hit a couple threes, but Asia Wilson, the MVP of that tournament, Breonna Stewart, they'll get Caitlin Clark. They'll get Juju Watkins. They'll get Paige Beckers. They'll get Angel Reese. And then women will reload. I actually feel a lot more confident about the women's program moving forward than the mid side. The mid side, outside of Booker and Anthony Edwards, we got to find some dudes.
The point guard for France is going to be, what was that possession?
Oh, my gosh.
Pass the rock, dog.
Pass the ball. They got tight, though. You're in a tight game with Team USA late down the stretch. Now, they got back into it, but Curry happened again. Can you give me the final call, Noah Eagle? I want to hear it again because it was so special. Him and Dwayne Wade, man, they made sweet music together, man, in the broadcast booth.
Back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night!
Curry, unconscious in the fourth.
Isn't that everybody's reaction when he hit that last one over the double team?
Yeah.
Oh! Like, that's exactly what I did in the living room.
Think about where Kobe was at in terms of likability worldwide and within the fabric of the NBA in particular. Because worldwide, he was very popular. Yep. Just like Steph. Very, very popular. But he became everyone's favorite player after that USA team.
Yep, especially against Spain, when he took it home against Spain in the gold medal game.
I mean, that to me was the moment. And he had other things that people were going to hold against him. There's a variety of things. The Laker brand, Kobe being Kobe, the divorce with Shaq. There was a variety of things working against him. Obviously, what happened in Colorado. And I believe that that moment, when he played for USA, it enabled everybody to be like, oh, dude, we're rooting for Kobe. He's on our team now. And I feel the same way about Steph Curry, because he's crushed everyone's soul for such a long time, and there's always that yeah but, and now I don't think there is a yeah but. I think everybody's just gonna like break in. I think he's gonna be, I mean, he's already so lovable, but whoever are the remaining haters out there now, they're almost non-existent.
Well, it was fun to watch other fans from other markets, and other fans in other markets goes, they were tweeting, this is what it's like to root for Stephen Curry?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Damn, this is fun. So that's it. To your point, a lot of people from other markets, a lot of people I heard from was like, yo, you guys are blessed out there to be. And I thought about this. I did think about this. This went through my head as everything was calming down and they're popping champagne in the locker room. I thought, in the Bay Area alone, we've been blessed to watch two of the greatest baseball players of all time, Willie Mays and Barry Lamar Bonds. The greatest base stealer of all time, Ricky Henderson. Possibly the greatest postseason pitcher in Dave Stewart. One of the most iconic postseason performances of 2014, Madison Bumgarner, who was in town this past weekend. Greatest football players ever. Joe Montana, possibly the greatest quarterback of all time. I know people are going to go Brady, but Joe Montana's right there. And Jerry Rice, possibly the greatest football player of all time. And now we got the greatest shooter in our own backyard. By the way, Wilt Chamberlain played here in San Francisco. Rick Barry was here in San Francisco. We've been so blessed in this market alone to have some of the greats of the greats right here in the Bay Area. Some of the greats of the greats. And I'm like, we're blessed. We got to see Montana, Rice, Barry Bonds, and now Stephen Curry.
And KD.
And Kevin Durant, who's right there.
I mean, he could be the greatest free agent in NBA history, you know,
no
outside
doubt.
Of, because LeBron technically was traded to Miami. I mean, it's just, no, you're right. I mean, we're very, very blessed, and we didn't just, like, get him in the middle of his career. We got him at the very beginning.
Very beginning, homegrown.
And we've seen the whole thing.
Jerry Rice, homegrown. Joe Montana, homegrown.
Him, talking about Steph Curry, KD, and LeBron, they're going to play 20 years at an elite level. It's unheard of. Kobe's last playoff game, he was 33 years old.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
Didn't go to the playoffs for 6 years.
It's crazy to me. No, is it not?
Yeah, well, we got to hope.
33 years old.
We got Steph, he mentioned it with Mike Tirico. You know, I didn't make the playoffs last season, so I had a lot of time on my hands. We got to get him back into playoffs. We have to get that guy back into the playoffs, no doubt. But right here in this market, think about that. The home run king, Willie Mays.
Wiggins.
Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Stephen Curry, Ricky Henderson, Dave Stewart, Madison. Like, we get, we got a lot of things to be proud about here in the Bay Area, man. We see some of the greats of the greats.
And the guy that you didn't reference, who Dibley thinks is the greatest athlete of all time, Russell Baines.
Russell Baze.
Baze, whatever. Exactly. That's yeah.
Russell Baze. Russ, I got your back. Hey, I respect the jock.
But come
after
on.
The Kentucky Derby. Hey, you know what? We do got the greatest jockey of all time. I'm going to wear that one.
Uh-huh.
I'll wear that one, Dan Dibley. I got you. For some of the greatest linemen of all time. Gene Upshaw, Art Shell, Hall of Famers.
Okay.
I mean, we can go, the list goes down and down the list, man. We've had some of the great of the greats here, right here in this market.
Speaking of linemen, I have a number for you. The number is $1.7 million. Do you know what that represents?
Dominic Puny's money?
Nope. Although he looked nice.
Yeah. Number one.
You guys don't know?
What's 1.7?
1.7 million is the total number of fines that Trent Williams has now received for missing 13 practices and one game, even though he's missing an exhibition game. When you hold out because of the CBA and you miss a game, you get a no game check. So he has been fined a total of $1.7 million, and the team can't rescind the fines.
Well, you know what they'll do? They'll just rip it up and make up for it on the back end with a new contract.
Well, I'm letting you know this right now.
They'll reimburse him for it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to expense those fines.
Look, the Niners need him.
Like, he's going to see that, buddy.
There's no doubt the Niners need him as Colton McKivitz gets a hold on the first drive of the game and a false start. They need him. There's no question about it. The Niners need him. But, Bonte, my empathy level for Trent Williams and him not having any guaranteed money, like it's like zero. It's absolute zero.
Let's pick it up on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Josh Dobbs, former Volunteer, in trouble. Evades. Keeps it himself. Touchdown, Josh Dobbs.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
We revisit the Steph Curry heroics from Saturday afternoon or Saturday night in Paris as the Olympic Games come to a close. What an Olympics, man. A lot of momentum built towards the 2028 games. I was into it. You're into it. A lot of fun in Paris, France. Breakdancing. That was wild. The 4x4 relays were great Saturday.
Dropping
right before.
The baton.
Oh, man. The 4x1 team? The 4x1 team. They've done that five straight Olympics.
Isn't that crazy?
Carl Lewis is irate. I didn't realize Carl Lewis was coaching track at the University of Houston where he went to school. He was irate saying the whole program, he's not even blaming the runners. He's blaming the program on how that was awful. They just went through a montage of them dropping the baton, and on the first leg, they blow it.
Volleyball was awesome yesterday.
Volleyball was awesome.
It was awesome yesterday. And then and there's just so many awesome things that I saw. Table tennis was incredible. Just so many great events. The thing is that they've added all of these events that everyone's like losing their minds over because they need to fill TV time. This is a huge TV product. And I think that Peacock/NBC, Comcast, and YouTube TV crushed it.
They did
absolutely crushed it. 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And then now we were talking about Noah Eagle being able to kind of write his own career from here on out. Snoop Dogg will now be able to have commercial, and he already did, but now it's whatever you want to do the rest of your life.
Yep.
He's set up.
No, he's set for life. Snoop is set for life. 206, as this segment is brought to you by Go to St. Lever, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit gotostlever.com. You brought up Trent Williams right before the break, and the Xfinity Mobile text line. Good morning to everybody on the Xfinity Mobile text line, Twitch, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. 206, Xfinity Mobile text line. Let Trent walk, save the money, and go get another Bay Area kid, David Bakhtiari, aside Brandon Ayuk. That's for my boy Gutter Trash.
Sarah's own David Bakhtiari. I don't know where he's at health-wise. I know he's been battling a lot of injuries. Yeah. I believe he's a free agent still waiting to be signed. I thought he would go to the Jets to go team up with Aaron Rodgers because they need offensive line help. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of Ayuk reports. There's a lot of just nothingness when it comes to Trent Williams. Here's one thing I would say. like when it comes to the 49ers, I want a resolution. I don't want this thing to linger. I know a lot of people are like, the Niners hold all the guards. Just let them just complain and let it fester and all that. Like, it sounds good. I don't know how that works in terms of a dynamic every single day of coming into the office. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how everyone can stay on the same page there. I don't know if you want a disgruntled player. You're just inviting, you know, stuff. I'm not saying that everyone can't get along. You're just making it harder for yourself. They've got to figure this thing out. Keep Ayuk. Find a way. Like, I'm a great example. I'm watching Trent Taylor return kicks. They gave Trent Taylor $1.5 million. If there's a $1.5 million difference between Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers, my God, you better cut Trent Taylor because he's got no juice in the return game. He got blasted three times. And give the $1.5 million difference to Brandon Ayuk for crying out loud. Seriously.
Thank you, Trent Taylor. So the Niners.
Am I hating on Trent Taylor?
No, you tell
me. Stinks.
Well, I'm not the biggest Trent Taylor fan. I'm off that train as well. Now the return game is, you got to fix that, and maybe it's Ronnie Bell. I have no idea. So missed tackles in a preseason game is going to be common because you don't hit a lot in practice in training camp. You're not going to hit a lot of your players, and a lot of your players haven't been at practice. They just haven't been at practice. The Niners have missed 23 guys. 23 guys have missed practice so much so that they canceled their trip to Irvine, California. And the Saints and the Niners have mutually agreed to cancel the scrimmages. They're canceling scrimmages.
I'm sure somewhere along the line, something like this has happened. I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of it either.
Okay.
I never heard of it either. So the Niners are just, look, and if they look bad, I'm not going to say, hey, the run defense is awful. Bosa wasn't playing. Malik Collins wasn't playing. Hargrave wasn't playing. All these, Leonard Floyd wasn't playing. And they're not game planning necessarily for a preseason game. You're running very vanilla stuff. Now, the Titans were blitzing left and right. They were blitzing on the first play of the game. That's what they do. The Niners are very vanilla. Missed tackles is a problem. But I'm looking at the highlights here. And looking at the highlights of players. Malik Mustafa, obviously, is number one on the list.
I think it's Malik. The reason why I say Malik, that is Malik. I thought it was Malik as well. Multiple broadcasts were saying Malik.
And Malik.
I'm going to go with Mayoko. Mayoko keeps calling him Malik. Malik Mustafa. I want him. I didn't mean to just do the correction. I want to get it right because I'm not good at these pronunciations.
so you cut it out of me to correct me.
No, because I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So Malik Mustafa. I kept hearing Malik.
I think he's a player.
He's a player. That guy can hit, and you know it's going to be interesting what they do with Talanoa Hufanga after the season. Do you resign him? You got Jair Brown. Tig Brown's playing well.
He looks good.
George Odell's playing well. You want Mustafa, and you want Jair Brown to be your safeties in the future? Where's Hufanga at? We'll see about that.
They said that this week on the broadcast, they said this is a big week for him. He could get activated this week from the injured reserve slot that he's on, or whatever the specific designation is. So we should find out about him this week.
We should find out about him. But that's the spot where I'm looking like, boy, if you want to save, everybody's talking about who needs to get paid and who doesn't need to get paid. Well, if you want to save some money, I may feel good moving forward with Mustafa and Tig Brown. That's a hell of a safety tandem. Now, Kalia Davis, number 93.
I thought he made plays.
He's going to make this roster. Number 93 was making plays all over the place on the defensive line. I loved Davis. Loved him. He played a lot of snaps in that game Saturday night. He played well against the run. Pushed the pocket. Maybe there's a spot for him on his football team moving forward.
Here is my favorite player from Saturday. Now, I know. I have a sickness, all right? I admit it. Not only did I watch the game multiple times, I also went back and did the condensed version and watched back. This number 48, Bethune. This guy is a player. I'm telling you right now. Jalen Graham, I had hopes for him. He's too upright. I don't love him. I know everyone's infatuated with D-Winners. I like D-Winners. Over-pursued a couple times. It's early. It's the first big hitting game. They don't hit in practice. 48, Bethune. Seventh round pick, Florida State. I'm telling you right now, he has to make this team. He has to make this team.
Bethune is
a nice player. The other guy, now he dropped the ball early in this game. You got to catch it. There's just no other way around it. And we'll get to Brandon Allen because I actually thought he had a really good game. Tay Martin? Tay Martin makes plays.
He does.
Tay Martin makes plays.
He dropped that one, right?
Yeah, that was the ball.
That was on the right sideline.
Perfect passes from Brandon Allen. And now we got into Brandon Allen. I like to do little stars. Like, is this a plus pass? I had Brandon Allen down for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 plus throws. He had the one bad throw, all right? But I had six, and two were drops. The bomb to Tate Martin, yep, which he's got to catch. I mean, just he was a perfect throw. He did a little shoulder pump. Perfect throw. He's got to catch that. And I thought he rebounded after that drop. And then Ronnie Bell dropped one, like right in his hands, through his hands.
Even the first catch Ronnie Bell has, he kind of double clutched it, and he didn't catch it cleanly, even though it was a good Brendan Allen throw. Now, I thought early on Brendan Allen was selling the ball. He was releasing it. It was kind of selling high. Which is, you know, he threw the screen pass. He threw it high. I'm not saying he didn't look good.
That was the tight end play. You know what that was?
I didn't say he didn't look good, but he threw a couple high early on. And once he settled in, he's got under, like, his arm talent, the velocity of the football coming out of his hands, I underrated that. It came out with some steam. Came out with some steam, and he made some of those intermediate throws. Brendan Allen looked good.
Hey, he climbed in the pocket a couple of times to avoid pressure. Yeah, he did look really good. They had two throws back-to-back. The one was the drop by Tate Martin when they were backed up in their own end zone, and he ripped one down 30, 40 yards down the field. And then the very next play, they went wide, and he threw to some receiver number three I had never even heard of on like this like clear-out play where they attacked the middle. I thought he was really nice in this one. And then you brought up Zuni earlier. He looks, because he's wearing 77, he looks identical to Iupati.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this guy is a massive human being.
Dominic Cutie's going to start at right guard. And you could see that he's got all the goods to start at right guard. He looks like a day one starter for the 49ers. And give them credit, man. You know, as much as we talk about, they should draft a lineman, they should do this, they should do that, they know how to find linemen. The 49ers. Yeah. Colt McKivitz has turned into a player. Jake Brindle, nobody said anything about Jake Brindle up until the Super Bowl last year against Chris Jones, who's walking into Canton, Ohio, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as soon as he retires from the Kansas City Chiefs. And Aaron Banks, I mean, Dominic Pewdie looks like a player. He looks physical. He looks good in the run game. Looks like a good pass protector. I like where Pewdie's at. So there's some highlights there. I was disappointed Pierce Olakau didn't play.
So disappointed.
I wanted to see them play. Look, Trent Taylor, he's getting all the reps or whatnot. We know who Trent Taylor is. To me, I think he's just a training camp body. Honestly, believe me, I don't believe he's going to make this football team.
I saw more from Tay Martin. Even I know he had the drop, but I saw some wiggle.
Yeah.
I saw some great adjustments on catches. I like Tay Martin. And again, I don't know what's going on at practice, and I know you have to fill out and have special team rosters. So if Trent can do some things in special teams, I'm just telling you
He doesn't have a lot of wiggle to me, though.
Wiggle? He's got blasted three times.
I'm not the biggest fan of Trent.
They did a little jet sweep for him later on. I kind of like Clay Kubiak's play calling. It's preseason.
Preseason.
I don't want to lose my mind, but I kind of enjoyed it.
Well, Shanahan took a lot of questions after the game about that. Let's hear from Shanahan on that.
I just want to give Clay a chance to do it. You know, it's not too big of a deal, and he's earned it, and he's been more than ready to do it, and does a lot in practice, and I want to give him the opportunity tonight.
He did it from the booth, right? Was he relaying down to Brian?
No, he could talk to the quarterback. Yeah.
But Shanahan's taking that back. He said he was so bored. He didn't know what to do with his hands. He was bored all day. So he will be calling plays. He nipped that controversy in the bud right away in the postgame presser.
He was so bored. He was looking at the tablet and got a penalty. Him and the other coach. Yeah. Two penalties on the same play for standing on the field.
Right. He was bored. He said he threw the challenge flag out. He was like, I get to throw a challenge flag out. I get to do something there. So Shanahan, he didn't bring up the IU stuff. He said, look, that's going to work itself out. It is what it is. But he said he was very, very bored. Now, who showed up? Winners in Mustafa.
I thought they showed up. I'm excited to watch them on the plane, see the tape. But I loved how D, you know, when you run and hit, that stuff flashes on the sidelines. So you saw that from him. He saw it from Mustafa. I was pretty excited with those guys.
Wearing that number 53 looks like Greenlaw.
Well, and he split through multiple pulling guards. He's shot out of the cannon. There's going to be times he's going to over-pursue. Like when you're a young, fast player, you're going to do that.
Exactly what Jerry Greenlaw used to do.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, I actually really like their linebackers. I think they're loaded at linebacker. I think they're loaded in the secondary. Well, I actually think they're loaded at wide receiver because we didn't even see the two rooks, and I like some of the other guys that were out there. But here's the area they're not loaded at. Edge rusher. They have got no edge rushers.
No
now,
depth.
I know Bosa didn't play, but like Beal, and I mean, they got some guy 78 from the Green Bay Packers I'd never heard of. I'm like, he's making the team.
Jonathan Garvin.
He's making the team. And that's not saying much because I don't think very highly of him, but they have so few defensive ends. To me, that is one of the weakest spots on the team. It is so glaringly obvious.
Yeah. Leonard Floyd, Nick Bosa are going to have to play a ton of snaps this season. Robert Beal Jr., just no juice off the edge. They're getting blown off the ball as well. Yes, they are. It's amazing how they're lacking depth at DN and anywhere on the defensive line when they've invested so much into the defensive line. They have whiffed over and over and over at that position group, and now it puts the onus on Chris Kocurek. And as much as we were lauding him over the past few years as the best D-line coach of football, well, boy, what's going on there with the D-line room? What's going on with that D-line group? Do they need to adjust their wide nine system now? They've adjusted a little bit. The D-ends are not as wide outside the tackles as they used to be, but maybe there's a schematic conversation here about the wide nine or whatever you're doing on the defensive line. You got to help these guys out because they're not deep. You're right. They're not deep in defensive end. These quarterbacks, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Will Levis for the Tennessee Titans, they had all day to throw.
Tell me you saw Will Levis trying to scramble near the goal line.
Oh, and he got popped.
Oh, my God.
D-Winners popped him.
And by the way, the Titans roster, could you assemble a more random roster? Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. Would you just hit simulate on a fantasy draft? And you put it. They got Jake Brendel on their offensive line. Brunskill.
Tajay Spears is probably the better running back than Tony Pollard. Spears could play. He's got speed.
Pollard got hip tackled the same way that playoff game where he hurt himself by Odom. And I was like, oh boy, that's a tough one. Yeah. But that team is just weirdly assembled.
Treylon Burks, Tony Pollard. We'll see what the Titans do in that division. They'll win some games, but Malik Willis now third string on the quarterback depth chart.
He can run, though.
He can run. That's about it. But you got to be able to pass the ball from that pocket as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM. AC1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. But dude, you brought up playing at Florida State. He transferred over from Central Florida. I remember when he came in because he wanted to get more tape for the draft or whatnot. So he was a Central Florida guy. Look, Central Florida's program has been really good over the last 7-8 years. Been really good. They've been playing some high-level football down there at University of Central Florida. So he comes over from Florida State. They have a really good defense. He's very intriguing. Very intriguing. Because Curtis Robinson, as much praise as he gets, I don't see it.
Him and Jalen Graham, they're very upright and they get blocked
play
very
high.
Easily. Yeah, I don't like how high they are.
You got to get that pad level low.
Yeah, and I just, again, watching D Winners, he's low to the ground. He's shorter and he's just more athletic. And then I watched Bethune and he's just natural. He's very instinctual and you could just tell that this guy, he's a hitter, number one, but he just flies, man. And the way he's knifing through these blocks, he's real. I like him. I think he's going to make this team.
They may try to hide him on a practice squad.
Well, that's what I was thinking about with the quarterback, number four.
Mordecai?
Yeah, Tanner Mordecai. They didn't play him at all, and I don't know if they're going to play him in any of these games.
They might try to hide him.
That's what I think you might try to do.
They might cut Josh Dobbs, because Josh Dobbs...
I thought Dobbs got better as the game went on,
but he's a former starter in this league. I mean, you're doing that against third stringers of guys who won't be on the roster.
Well, I mean, he also had protection. I mean, he had guys in his face multiple times. He had a couple of really nice pocket plays.
He's not bad, but I think the Niners might be trying to hide Mordecai. Don't show him. Stick it through the practice squad, because they're known to do that. I remember when they first discovered Matt Breida, and Kevin Jones was reporting on the Niners, and he leaked out like, boy, I'm hearing that the staff really loves Matt Breida. And the Niners brass was really irate about that because they didn't want that word to get out there that Matt Breida was making plays. That's shithead. He's paranoid, man. It's like the Pentagon with the 49ers,
man. Keep him. I mean, like, he does these odd roster politics. Like, for example, Trent Taylor. If Trent Taylor makes his team, I'm going to roll my eyes. Trent Taylor is not. Their kick return units, oh, my God. What is it like? Have the Niners ever, outside of the 2011 Tony Montana squad of coverage, okay, that was for coverage.
Right.
And they had a little Ted Ginn Jr. that year, but it ended up blowing it in the playoffs because they had Kyle Williams.
Right.
Have you ever felt supremely confident about the special teams unit for the San Francisco 49ers in your life?
Of course, they were the first NFL team to give up a long return on the kickoff, the new kickoff.
Not once.
The new kickoff. Twice. And you know who missed the tackle on that play? D Winners. He missed the initial tackle on that play. No. Jalen Graham, I believe it was.
Jalen Graham.
Jalen Graham missed a tackle on the initial. And then he ended up catching like, oh, Jalen Graham, what a hustle. Well, he missed the tackle. Just start the whole damn thing.
How about the new punter? I actually thought he had a couple of really nice punts.
Are you ready to move off from Mitch Wisnowski?
Well, if he's got a knee issue, I mean, could save a couple bucks.
Presley Harvin III? Nah, we got to keep Wisnowski. He's going to be here for the next 10 years. Come on, man. Keep Wisnowski.
I mean, if I could save a couple million bucks over the life of a contract, I'll do it. I'll upgrade anywhere. I mean,
keep Wisnowski. He, you know, Presley was just letting it boom, letting it fly, no touch on his punts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Wisnowski, he pins those bad boys under, inside the 10-yard line, man. You don't want to cut him.
Schrader, the running back, Mason looked really good early on in this game. Yeah. Then they take him out. They put Schrader in. He was hit and miss. And then they put Breida in, and I thought Breida didn't look bad.
No, I don't. The Schrader kid,
I'm iffy.
I got to say, J.P. Mason, he runs really well in between the tackles. But I see why he doesn't touch the field. It's just same old issue with him. Pass protection. Remember earlier in that drive when he had to run?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on that drive, a blitz pickup, he just missed. He just whiffed. His pass protection is not there yet. So that's where Christian McCaffrey comes in. He's going to play on third down. There's no doubt about that. You hope that J.P. Mason doesn't have to play third down, but he knows it, and I think the team knows it. And if you look at the film, pass protection is an issue for him. He's got to improve in that area. If something happens to McCaffrey here down the stretch and he's dealing with the calf strain right now, who's going to pass protect on third down in this running back room? Is it going to be J.P. Mason? Is it going to be Elijah Mitchell? What the hell's going on with Elijah Mitchell?
I haven't seen Breida. Elijah Mitchell. In a uniform in a long time.
Where's he at? What's going on with him?
I don't know. That's why I think Breida is going to make this team. He had about four or five pass protection plays. One, he got just destroyed, but at least he got in front of the guy. A bunch of others. He's a solid player. He's not going to blow you away with the speed like he used to a couple years ago. But I think Breida does make this team because he's reliable in doing what you're actually talking about right there. And I wonder if Breida can do some of the Trent Taylor kick return stuff for a fraction of the price.
Yeah. Trent Taylor, you're really down. I don't think Trent Taylor's going to make this roster.
No, I'm so out on Trent Taylor on this team. I would rather see Tay Martin make the team.
Oh,
I really like Tay Martin. I know he dropped that ball early. I really like Tay Martin.
Another guy who may be God. This one right here, Ambry Thomas.
Injuries, guys. Ambry Thomas ended up breaking his forearm. So it's going to be some time. That's all that we got right now, though.
I mean, they played this last game in the Niner uniform because he did not look good on the field Saturday.
Well,
holding call, a missed tackle on the screen play, beat out another play. Ambry just, in this room with all these corners where you start with Traverius Ward and Diamondor Lenore, and I love my guy out of Florida State. You know I love my guy out of Florida State, Renardo Green. And you still have Sammy Wolbach hanging around, and Yedem's playing well, and I think Rocky Sin played well, number 33. I don't think Ambry Thomas is making this roster.
No. So Ward, Lenore, and Yadam, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it properly, they're making the team because they didn't suit up at all. So to me, they're making the team. Rocka Sim, you brought him up. He played almost the entire game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make the team.
He's going to make the squad. He's
all right.
Pro.
Renardo Green's going to make the team.
Yep.
That's five guys right there.
Yep.
Okay, so who's that sixth guy going to be? I feel like they're going to take four or five safeties as well. What do you think?
I have to get Sebby Wolbach the third. I still haven't given up on Sebby Wolbach the third.
All right. They but also signed this guy, Tracy Walker, from Detroit late this week.
Yeah, he's okay.
Well,
he's okay, but they need bodies in training camp.
That's
they're
what
missing
I'm saying,
all these
so
guys.
I don't know where he fits in the mix.
I think he's just a training camp body, in my opinion, but I could be wrong.
Well, your guy Green, I was looking
Renardo
at it,
Green.
You know, watching back the tape, and I'm saying to myself, all right, they played him in the slot, then they played him on the outside, then they moved him back to the slot, then they moved him back to the outside. So obviously, they're trying to get him ready to go. And if you look at him and Mustafa, you're like, I think they got a little something in this draft class.
No, this draft class, especially after the 2022 class, the 2022 class is not good at all. They may have found some gems here moving forward. And look, man, I think you feel good in the corner room, but Ambry Thomas, just what a disappointment he's been. I mean, he's been a disappointment. He's not going to make this roster.
They were targeting him early in the game, and then he gets the hold on when they got a stop at the goal line.
Got the holding call, he missed a tackle on a screenplay.
He's done.
Yeah, I think he played his last game with the 49. Now, he got hurt, broke his forearm, which is unfortunate. But I can see the Niners having an
injury settlement
for him. But Rocky Sin started a lot of games in this league. He could play. I believe he's from Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. An Ohio State Buckeye guy. So he's going to make this roster. Ambry Thomas is gone. Now we get to the biggest issue with this football team right now. And you brought up, he's a Temple guy. Temple. He was a second-round pick in 2019, second-round pick, 34 overall by the Colts. So there's some value there. And the Niners, Ambry Thomas is done. I think Rocky Sin's making this roster. So we're good with corners. We're good with linebackers. We're iffy on DNs. I think we're good for the most part with the offensive line. If Big Trent gets his ass in a camp or just shows up. But what about the wide receiver room? Diana Russini from The Athletic, the latest here, August 9th, 248. She texted a front office executive, and she asked, why do you think the Niners aren't calling back the Steelers? The answer was, probably wait as long as they can. Force someone to blink. Sounds like they really don't want to trade. Maybe hoping someone else comes along. The whole thing is very strange. Very strange. And then we get the report from our guy, Jordan Schultz, from Bleach Report. The Niners have opened up contract discussions with Ayuk and his agent. Lead source told The Athletic has spent much of the week discussing a potential trade, but apparently Friday, they came back to the table. They came back to the table. So what the hell is going on with Brandon Ayuk? Maybe we'll pick that up on the other side as we got a break here. We got
right
a break
now,
here.
I figure Debo, Jennings, and Connolly, that's three guys locked to make the team. Outside of that, I got no clue.
Well, Ricky Pearsall is going to make the team, too.
That's okay.
What's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.